You're not looking for 18-foot jumpers.
No.
Go up, run up and down, disturb the stuff, be a stuff disturber, as we like to say. Get a couple of lobs and then look for the sub and the buzz at the 6-minute mark.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home for every Warriors playoff game. Now joining us, Townie Low and Dibs. Doug Christie played 15 years in the NBA. You see him on NBC California doing Kings pre- and post-game live, and he's also on Sports 1140 KHTK, one of our affiliates for the A's Radio Network. Doug, thank you so much for taking the time.
What's up, fellas? How are you this morning?
Well, we're good. We're talking about the starting lineup. You know, Steve's been going with the Hamptons five. Looking at game three, we're going to put you on the bench for the Golden State Warriors. What would you start out with? What would be your starting five?
I would definitely start the Oakland four. I don't know who else I would put in there with them, but, you know, it's more about, in my opinion, the way that those guys are playing. I understand the Hamptons five. I get that. The only thing is this Houston Rockets team, they've said as much. They are built to play against the Golden State Warriors. And so when you talk about small ball, they have a team that can play that small ball. Do the Warriors have I heard you guys talking about maybe going a little bigger. And if you are the Golden State Warriors, maybe they have a lineup that is going to help them. The only thing is Clint Capella played really, really well all year long, you guys. And he is kind of that prototypical center nowadays when you play the style that Houston plays. Set a pick and roll, roll to the basket, really good hands, catch everything. Could JaVale McGee and his length affect that? That is a possibility. So, you know, I think Steve tinkers with it a little bit, but similar to what you guys saw with the Houston Rockets is, look, do what we do better, and if we do what we do better, we'll be okay. I think that's where Golden State is at as well.
Is it a question really of effort then for game three? Because clearly the Warriors exerted more effort and they were more aggressive in game one. And then Houston came out and was clearly more aggressive in two. Are these teams so closely matched that it will come down to the intangibles, loose balls, rebounding, and effort?
It's really going to come down to Steph Curry being able to play like Steph Curry plays. I think that they're isolating him on the defensive end of the floor. They're attacking him. They're knocking him down. They're making sure that he gets stuck in pick and rolls. Now, from the last series, Steph played really well. So you really can't use injury as an excuse. But I will say this, coming back from an injury like that, especially lower extremity, he has to get his shooting legs underneath him. And when you make a player play on defense, it is going to take that away. And a guy like Steve Nash, when I played against Steve Nash, I would pick him up full court. It wasn't necessarily because I was trying to steal the ball. It wasn't necessarily anything else that I wanted his legs in the fourth quarter to be a little bit more weary so that long jumper is hitting the front of the rim. I think we're seeing a little bit of that with Steph, but I have a sneaking suspicion in this next game he's going to play more Steph-like.
I couldn't agree with you more. When you're watching these guys play and watching the ball movement and the things that happen with this dub teams that make them so prolific, do you think at times you know that KD, he can create his own shot, the best shooter in the game, what he's able to do? When is it when they're relying too much on KD? What is that balance for the coach and the coaching staff about plays, getting others involved? Do you think they're passing with the purpose and then at the end to get it back to KD? And how much is it too much KD?
You know, I would say when you look down and you see Klay Thompson with 8 points, that's probably a good indicator. But more than anything, you guys, it's the ball movement and body movement. When they aren't moving around, because in the last game, the Rockets played more Warriors-like than the Warriors played. There was a couple plays that were just really significant, meaning that there's a pick and roll, they stop the ball is passed. They could have shot the ball probably 3 or 4 times, but they didn't. They moved the ball from a good shot to a great shot. And when the Golden State Warriors are doing that, they are playing really, really solid basketball. And if you see Kevin Durant taking the ball and isolating, and he's able to knock the shot down, that's not the point. I mean, he gets 38. It's efficient 38. But the problem is what makes them special is when he scores 29, and now all of a sudden there's 8 or 9 more assists. to go on to the roughly 20-something that they got. When they're close to 30 assists, you guys, they are really, really special, and that's probably the number. Ball movement, body movement.
Doug Christie, longtime NBA veteran, joins us here on Town Eat Low and Dibs. And there's always adjustments in a series from game to game. And you saw how, and you just mentioned it, how the Rockets played different in game two. Based off what you saw in game two, what adjustments do the Warriors need to make in game three with their defense?
You know, more than anything, you guys, I think that there's a level of physicality that the Warriors are going to have to play with. There's a level of nastiness. I know Draymond plays with it. He is on that edge. But this is a team that's built, and they've said as much, I said it earlier, they're built to beat these guys. You want to, if you're the Warriors, strike first, be physical, make sure that you are, they did it in game one, they really forced Harden to his left hand and made him go left. And what that does is if you're a left-handed player and you shoot with your left hand, it's harder to shoot when you go to your left because you got to kind of square those shoulders up. It's the same with the right-handed player. If I'm getting ready to shoot the ball, I want to go to my left if I'm a right-handed player so I can shoot it. Harden wants to go to his right. They forced him left. So just for him, that's it. You got to have to take away some of the others. I have a sneaking suspicion that PJ Tucker isn't going to shoot the same way. Trevor Ariza isn't going to shoot the same way. So I don't see a panic, but I see an aggressiveness on the defensive end from the Warriors. Strike first, get more aggressive. And when they do that, they usually play well.
In game one, it seemed like they were allowing Harden much more of a penetration approach defensively. Do you think the Warriors will continue to try to funnel him to the basket and maybe not help off the three-point shooters as much as they did in game two?
I think that that would be wise. I think a lot of that is what we were talking about. Now, I think that they did counteract that a little bit. Those shooters didn't stay deal for the Houston Rockets as much in game two as they did in game one. And what I mean by that is when Harden penetrated, now you're starting to get cutters. Now you're starting to get back picks. Now you're starting to get guys move around. Where I watched in game one, you guys, Harden had it isolated at the top. You had two defensive players for the Warriors on either block, and you had two defensive players on either elbow. That was the Houston Rockets being stagnant, sitting still, watching Harden. Now they're watching Harden, but they're moving and they're cutting with purpose. So if they continue to do that, it's going to be more difficult. But if you're the Golden State Warriors, you have some of the best defenders, and I would say best team defense in the league when you're playing at a high level.
Doug, we know that KD's not a selfish player, you know, because I'm just fascinated with this conversation, especially when it comes to a guy who can take over the game. Like you alluded to, every shot is darn near a good shot. He doesn't take a lot of bad shots because of his elevation. Is this something where the coach has to interject and say, guys, we can't rely on this guy because now you're seeing guys maybe hesitant to shoot because they are trying. They know that he is the savior. So how do you change the mindset necessarily for this team won't be Kevin Durant ball dominant?
You know, if it was me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to initiate the offense away from him so that the ball is going to end up, you guys, in the best player's hand. That's just usually how the game is played because the ball moves and it finds, that energy finds the best player. But if you go directly to him, now the ball stops and now he, like you said, I mean, at 13 for 22, I mean, he shot an efficient game. But what you want is you want that ball to move around for a second before it finds KD. And once it finds KD, that's okay. But after Clay has touched it, after Iguodala has touched it, after Draymond initiated the offense, it went through Steph one time. They stopped him. He's back cut. And many times when I was watching Steph the other night, there's a hesitation to Steph's game that he catches guys off guard and then he gets into the lane. He's not using that as much. Is his legs a little tired? That could be it. But if I was running things, I'm going to initiate away from KD, let some other guys touch the ball. The ball will definitely find him because he is the man that can put it in the bucket.
Doug, really good stuff. We appreciate it. Have a great morning. Continued success, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate you. Have a good one.
Doug Christie, really good on television.
Yeah.
Never get to watch him doing the King stuff with our buddy Jim Cosimore.
Good guy. Good father, actually. I had the chance to meet his young son. Great handshake. Eye contact low. You'd be impressed with the young man.
Oh, I could imagine. Love to meet him. Love to.
So you always make fun of me on the morning show with something about what do you always say about me and a stat or something like that?
Oh, have I got a stat for you?
Guess what? I got one for you.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I'm really looking forward to the beef line today.
Yeah?
Where's
the
beef?
That's coming up in about 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Why are you excited?
7:17, Townie Lowendibs.
Exactly. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, San Francisco, and everybody out there in the Bay Area.
Hey, Townie, do you know that we are the only station hooking up our listeners with tickets to every Warriors home playoff game?
And don't forget Maroon 5 coming up on the hour.
You go to 957thegame.com right now for your chance to win tickets to Game 4.
Free tickets.
Yes. Your chance to win tickets to Game 4.
Wow.
Tuesday morning at 8, we will call out a winner name. They'll have 10 minutes to call back and claim their tickets. All the details at 957thegame.com.
Do we have the Fortinbaugh drop about the... can I please have that?
Have I got a stat for you?
You're damn right I do, Joe. We should call him and wake him up just to...
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Just to really rile him up.
Really piss him off.
Yeah, because that's what we need. We need an angrier Joe.
Yeah.
We've always said that.
We got 2 days for him to cool down, right? That's right.
I say we call him, wake his ass up.
He'll take it out on you guys Monday.
Oh, you guys. Nice.
Yeah, I'm off on Monday, so I say we give him a call.
We'll call you at home. See how you like it Monday.
Yeah, try that. See how that works. Do you know the Rockets? Because we worried about isolation, right? Isn't that what we talked about in Game 1, isolation? Oh, so much. Did you know that they finished with 46 isolation plays in Game 2? Of course, this is according to Sports Spectrum, the cameras that are looking at everything, the eye in the sky. So in Game 2, the Rockets finished with 46 isolation plays. Game 1, they had 45.
Wow.
We were saying they were a different team. They actually had more isolation plays in Game 2 than Game 1. So then you ask me, what's the difference?
What's the difference, Chris?
Is the way they did it. Harden had only 16 instead of 26. Chris Paul stepped in with 16 instead of 10. So all of a sudden, they had the same amount, basically, of isolation. They just spread it out around players, got Chris Paul more in the mix. Does that mean anything to you?
It means that Chris Paul is a better passer than James Harden, and when you have isolations with Chris Paul, and he beats his player, which was Kevon Looney at times, it was Steph Curry at times, once he goes by and you give help, that's when Chris Paul pitches it out to three-point shooters. P.J. Tucker knocking him down from the corner. Even Bam Mute was able to get some buckets. So that, to me, was a strategic change for Houston to try to get more three-point shooting involved by having Chris Paul, a great distributor, involved in the ISOs.
I think what Chris Paul does, if he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, this guy can get in there amongst the trees and still mix it up because of the fact he can drive to the hole and then stop on a dime and leave 9 cents change and boom, draws in your face. The guy still is one of... a great jump shooter. He can do a lot of things. He can go through the hole, throw it high off the glass. He does a lot of phenomenal things like Dibs is alluding to, and he can get in there amongst the trees and kick the ball out to the open knockdown shooter. And so when you have
knockdown
that going
shooter.
On, you see that you know, usually turns into points for this team. So as long as they're moving the ball and Chris Paul in some isolation but yet distributing at the same sense, they are a pretty deadly team, and the Dubs are going to have to get out and defend the perimeter. Draymond talked about guys leaving guys open because Chris can demand guys sometimes because he can get by them, demand a double team. Someone's trying to come out and cover, and then he kicks the ball out. So I think that you can look at stats and make them look the way that you want. You hear with this coach, D'Antoni, he's saying, look, we're not changing anything. They're not. They just played with more execution. They played with more tempo. They played with more pace. And they punched the team in the mouth, and they found a way to get the win. They took care of the business. Now the Dubs need to go ahead and take care of their business and protect home.
But what you just said there was the change. They changed. Even though they're trying to say they're not changing, they totally changed. They got quicker, as you just said. They picked up the pace, and Harden wasn't basically dominating the ball the whole time. They still do isolation. They just did it a lot better. And as you mentioned, you bring in Chris Paul. That means more people now are getting the basketball.
Right, and it gives you an opportunity to do what you want if you're Houston, and that's go at Steph Curry as much as possible. When Steph is guarding Chris Paul, it's going to be isolation. If Steph is guarding someone else, maybe it's off the ball. You're going to use screen and roll to get Steph involved in the pick and roll and make Steph switched on to either Harden or Chris Paul, because Steph Curry is the weakest on-ball defender right now, considering his lack of mobility. And I think his mobility has been compromised by the knee injury, especially on defense. So you're going to see it again Sunday, Tony. They're going to go after him when he's on the defensive end.
Yeah, the whole that I'm fine, I'm not buying.
Yeah, he's probably 80 to 90%, but when you're playing on defense, especially when you don't know where the other player is going to go and you have to react, that's where you're going to see a little bit of a slower move. When you have the ball, you know what move you're going to make, so you have that advantage. It doesn't hurt you as much from a lateral mobility standpoint.
Yeah, what the hell do you do, Lo, when you're not 100% and you still have to perform at that level?
I think it becomes about angles. It becomes about getting in front of guys. It's about saying, okay, I'm just going to slow this guy down. You know, you force them to where you know your help's going to be. If you know Draymond's playing inside, then you force him inside. If you know I got KD to my left and I'm saying, I know this guy wants to set a pick or what he's going to do, I'm going to take that angle away and force him to where my help is. And that's what Steph and this team has to be in continuity, especially defensively wise, is to say, look, this guy, we want Steph to make sure he push him left. You're going to have to collapse here. Another guy's going to rotate out on the three-point shooter. And if you can start doing those things to know where you want Steph to drive guys to where his defensive help is going to be, I think that's where you're going to have more success. So you got to protect guys. So when you're injured or if you're not moving as well as you should be, then you got to make sure that you're funneling guys to where your help is going to be. And I think the Dubs will do that because Kerr, he's good at making adjustments.
It's a good uptick. You can't deny it. It's a great uptick right there.
Is that your specialty right there?
I don't know if it's a specialty. I just think that we've all just...
It's really, a go-to move.
It's one really of his is. Four pitches. He's got, you know, the verbiage, such things as ferocious, athletic, etc.
So yeah. He's got a four-seamer. He's got a two-seamer.
Yeah.
He's got a slider.
Yeah.
And he's got a split.
The uptick would be the change. I think it's
split
more of a straight change than it is a split finger.
Circle change?
Because it doesn't have the downward movement. And in fact, it moves up. Thank you, Anna.
Nicely done.
Doug Christie, I like what he said about being nasty. We don't really think about that with the Golden State Warriors. Like, when you talk about analysis of the Warriors, you talk about beautiful basketball, the way they move the basketball, the way they played team defense. Rarely do you ever say, you know what, you got to get tougher and you got to get nastier. And if they want to play physical, you got to play more
physical.
Well,
they've got the one nasty guy. He's one of the nastiest players in the association as we go around the association. Draymond Green is he would be on Mount Nasty more as far as current players. But you're right, Townie. When you go down from that, your next nastiest guy is Zaza Pachulia, who is not playing.
Who's DMP.
Your next nastiest guy is David West, who's getting about 5 or 6 minutes a game.
Who you said was not a fit for this series.
He's not. So as you're looking at your nasty five, if you want to put your nastiest five out there, I think Clay would be on there just because he is such a good defender. But he's not necessarily nasty. As you start to go down the roster, most of the guys who have that physical edge, they can't make it on the floor in this series.
Yeah, and when you're talking about nasty, we know what Draymond brings. He brings that tenacity. He brings that guy that's going to be the junkyard dog that's going to get in guys' face, go up there and rebound with the Capellas and do the things that he needs to do, push guys out, big body guys. He is nasty. And then you look at another, the enforcer, he's right. David West is a guy who plays physical, but in this series, he doesn't get up and down the court as much, and he's not as fast. So here's a guy that has limited amount of minutes. You would love to play David West more because you know what he brings, his tenacity and those different things. So it's not a good matchup for the Rockets. So he's another guy that's nasty, and then you'd have to go with a guy like Zaza. But look at Zaza, we understand this guy he slows this team down, this team, the Warriors, that is. They want to get up and down the court and run and do those things, and at times Zaza's shown that he can't do that. So the people that you're talking about bringing that nasty, the guys, you got one out of the three that really, really brings it. So it does hurt you and stifle you in that where you got those guys who want to beat guys up, who wants to be physical and lay on them and the hard fouls, so you can't play those guys right now. So it does hurt you at times.
Let's go to John in Concord. John, good morning. You're on 95.7.
Hey, go Warriors. You guys do a great job. Hey, I think Steve Kerr needs to show a bunch of old Bill Cartwright moves, show some old video, and then when the lights come on, change Durant's uniform to Cartwright and go out there and do it to it. That's what they need.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
Cartwright.
Let's take him back to the late 80s. You're going to be the bad boys now.
Back to the Hilltop, USF. Shout out Quentin Daly and Bill Cartwright and the great run they had in the late 70s.
National championships.
Throw those goggles on.
And there's different ways to be, quote, nasty nowadays. Like, if we go back to the bad boy Pistons or even subsequent teams, you could be more physical. You could be a little bit, quote, dirty. Now you have a situation where Zaza wanders underneath Kawhi Leonard and commits a foul last year, and Kawhi sprains his ankle, and that scene is like the dirtiest play in the history of basketball, whereas...
Not even close.
30 years ago...
Not even
That
close.
Wouldn't have even been a foul.
Soft. You ever see? Did you watch the 30 for 30 on the Bad Boys?
Yes. Oh.
You forget about when Lambeer basically takes Bird down, almost blows out Bird's knee.
Yeah.
Like, Bill, it looked like his knee was going to buckle, but he basically... Bill. Tackles
the horse collar.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you think this is physical,
they would fight too. Back in the day, they would get it off.
Oh yeah,
go back and watch the highlights of the Bad Boys.
You know who wasn't scared of any of those guys? I don't care if he was fighting. I loved him. Well, Kurt Rambis. Oh, Kurt would fight you in a minute.
Santa Clara.
Oh yeah, for the Lakers, that dude would fight, mix it up with anybody too. So it's from now for where it
and
used
the old
to be.
School Rex specs, those glasses that they used to have back those first sports glasses.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was he was bad.
It's some tough times, but if this Warrior team gets in a situation in game three where the Rockets are being more physical and they're getting to more loose balls and they're getting more rebounds, you're going to have to find some combination of guys to return fire in this series. You can't get pushed around at home in a series that's tied at a game apiece.
But if you're the Rockets, or you're anybody else, that's always your game plan, is to go at them, to be tougher than them.
In particular, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
He's the guy you want to bump every time he cuts through the key. You want to make sure you're bumping the cutter. You want to make sure that Steph is getting crowded on his jump shot. You're going to challenge him. Even if you have to foul him off the ball, that's what Houston's going to do, Lo. They're going to continue to try to be physical on Steph Curry.
And that's what the Warriors have to realize. And they've been knowing the teams try to say they can't make, let's make it downright dirty and make it tough and turn into a drag-out fight. The Warriors understand that. And you can't get caught. You don't get in a Pistons contest with a skunk because you ain't going to win that battle. So what do? You got to beat Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, think about Sugar Ray when he fought Roberto Duran the first time. He tried to get in there and mix it up with Roberto. For what? For who? Why? And he ended up
hands
losing.
Of stone.
Hands of stone. He lost that fight the second time Sugar Ray fought like himself. That's what the Dubs
No
are.
Moss.
No moss. They are the Sugar Ray Leonard. They got a pepper when teams are trying to make you turn into this. Don't become what they are. If you're a Pepsi, stay a Pepsi. Don't become an orange soda. You stay what they're doing. Stick and jab. Keep moving. That's who the Warriors are. They're a team that want to move the ball around. They want to play with speed. They want to keep the ball moving so guys don't have a chance to be physical on them. They can't lay hands on them because they're cutting. They're moving. They're diving. They're doing all the things that keep teams off pace. So they can't rough it up. And that's what the Warriors have to do if they want to continue their dominance.
You speak my language. I've thought about that for years. If you're a Pepsi, you don't become an orange soda, and you don't start getting into some kind of contest with a skunk. You don't do that.
Why are you looking at me right now? He's the one who is spouting off all those wisdoms.
Yes, he's a genius.
I don't speak that language. I don't know what the crap he's talking about.
Well, maybe you should just figure it out, because that man, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, because the Warriors are like a sandwich, Tony. You missed that gem from a couple weeks ago. Fortunately, we don't have time to review that analogy.
What kind of sandwich?
Draymond was the bread, and KD was the meat, and I think Clay was the mayo.
Who's the cheese? You got to have
cheese.
Who's the cheese?
I think the cheese was JaVale at the time. It was so contrived. I can't even go back to
sourdough.
Sprouts.
Sourdough bread. I like that.
You like it?
It's a sandwich.
Think about it. Draymond was one of the best.
Draymond's the bread.
Yes. Tony, you know what you need to put on a sandwich, though, to make it really good?
What's that?
Beef.
Oh! The beef line. your favorite sports team letting you down over and over again?
I want you to get mad.
Is work stressing you out?
You're starting to piss me off.
Or do you need to get something off your chest?
I'm not going to take this anymore.
Call the Beef Line at 415-403-8588.
My friends, where's the beef?
Now is the time to go beef mode with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Am I the only one around here? Get the
Call the Beef Line at 415-403-8588.
I like it. I like it. Woo! Looks like the first one is about me. Let's do... No, it's not.
Normally we go in order from top to bottom.
Yeah, it says Townie Clickbait of Radio.
No, it says Beef with the Uptick.
My beef is with the Uptick. I just totally think they're not funny anymore. I mean, like, seriously, like, 4 months ago, they're hilarious. You know, it's good radio. Now it's just, you know, it's kind of boring. The whole punchline's over. It's just done. It's just wear it out. It's more of a wah, wah, wah. That's what it is now. So, ow. I guess stop the Uptick.
I appreciate that. Even though he upticked 3 times in his call, I would say it's not quite dead yet. Although, when Papa and Bonte and Papa Jr., basically co-opted it this week, it did kind of jump the shark for me.
Yeah.
Once Middays latches onto it, it's yesterday's news. What's going to happen next? The night guy is going to take it?
No, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen.
Because you can't do it.
Yeah. You can't do it. I can tell you.
No.
Ain't happening at night. You know what? You guys can have it.
Thank you, Tony.
You guys can have it. Oh, looks like someone's going to come down Anna's road.
Uh-oh. Hey, Yanni. I mean, Anna, Papadakis, however you say your damn last name. How are you going to say that Yanni's the best musician and you don't even know none of his songs? How about you just stay in the back and keep pretending you know sports? Because obviously, you don't know sports or music.
Oh, now that's just wrong. Just messing. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I will say Yanni is all instrumental music. I heard it on a loop as a child all the time growing up because my mom was a huge Yanni fan. I have no idea what the names of the songs are. I just know he was live at the Acropolis.
She got caught up this week. She was boasting about it. She was totally caught up. She was caught up.
He's a great musician. I've heard his
caught
music.
Caught up.
I don't know what
that's about. Usher. Caught up.
And Joe wouldn't let her off.
No. I said, what's your favorite Yanni song? And she came up with, I believe her response was,
Yeah, Joe. You know Joe. Oh, yeah, Anna. Oh,
you
went
Tom Sula?
Give me the song. What's the name, Yanni? Well, again, Joe does.
You went Jimmy Tommy Sula? All right, this one's... Don't you tell me to hurry up.
This one's on you, sucker.
This one's on me. Bring it.
Uncle Townie is the internet clickbait of radio. Coming up after the break, you won't believe what this warrior said about your mother. Coming up after the break, 5 things you didn't know about Steph Curry. Number 3 will amaze you. Why don't you find a different way to end a segment?
Trust me.
The clickbait of radio.
This is not my doing.
So great.
I've been coached to do this, unfortunately.
Have I got a stat for you?
You're exactly damn right.
Right. That's exactly right.
By the way, if everybody's going to uptick, how are you going to get rid of it?
You can't, Coach. It's here to stay. It's here to stay.
All right. I guess you, Lowe, have a certain phrase that you use all the time.
Yeah, my beef is with Lowe Neal. Every time you guys get a caller and they call in and they make their point, Lowe always starts with, no question. No question. No question. Every time, wherever it is calling, no question. Jesus, man, you do not have to lead with that. Please change up your material.
Wow. No question about it.
No question. I
couldn't agree with you more.
Wow.
Coming down your road. Man.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
We're all getting it today.
Okay.
Is this about Bob Melvin?
Old Melvin.
Oh,
the Toothless Wonder.
What's going on? It's your boy Melvin, the intern. I figured I'd call into the Beef Line on my last day of this internship. I will be back over the summer, but I figured I'd call in and address my beef with Pro Lenzo Neal. Lo, next time you ask me to go put money in the meter or move your car, I'm going to drive that old diesel off the Dan Bay Bridge. And you always talk about Lemoore. But every time I drive from beautiful Castaic, California, up north, all it smells like is cow. Come on, Lo. And last thing, you know, I don't have any beef with Anna, Diz, or Joe. Last thing, it's Ryan, Melvin. I'm out.
Got him.
God, Ryan. I gave you, I named him Melvin. I changed his name. Everyone loves him by Melvin. And now Ryan's going to go that way. I'm going to take your name away, Melvin.
So
everyone loved Melvin.
His internship is how to learn how to do radio, not to take care of a meter and drive your car around.
Yeah.
That's a big car.
That's not his job. His job is not to be your valet.
Yeah. Misappropriating our interns.
Whoa, that's not how
you know
what?
That actually should be a flag.
Yeah.
A misappropriation sensation.
Clean it up.
Cincinnati.
Clean it up.
Clean it up. All right. The last one is a caller from the South Bay.
Yeah, this is Chris in San Jose, and I just wanted to say, well, I got a couple issues. First, number one is OB flying. That's real original. No one's ever done that in morning radio. And then for, the guy that was drafted like in the 14th round out of Fresno State, and then the other guy who's a little rich kid from Marin who played tennis, I still don't understand why they're at the Warriors parade. I mean, nothing says Warriors like a Fresno State football player and a little rich kid playing tennis. And then I think about Dan Dibley and his career. You know, the biggest thing Dan Dibley ever had in his career was questions for Kreidler. Are you kidding me? And how about the chick on the show? Anna Kakamaki or Kakakraki? Doesn't she realize that you can change your name in radio? And oh, by the way, Chris Townsend hosting the morning show? I actually kind of like that guy, to be honest with you. And then I want to end on this. Tell that guy Joe Fortenbaugh from Philly yelling at me for 4 hours every single morning. Are you kidding me? Come on. Lighten up, bro.
Wow.
Wow.
Chris from the South Bay.
Chris from San Jose.
Didn't like that one bit.
That was just rude. I mean, I thought you guys did a great job at the parade.
Yeah, you've always thought that. I appreciate it.
And I'm really looking forward to another one this year. And you guys being on our float.
Yeah, hopefully you'll remember sunscreen this year, because you were absolutely tomatoed last year.
That ended up being a really long day.
Yeah, you think? No canopy in the sun?
Yeah. And then Steinmetz taking me all over Oakland?
Yeah. Lo and I in the VIP having sandwiches with Draymond and Clay. Yeah.
We had a good
chilling
time.
With KD.
Chilling.
And then Sal Castaneda showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
The legend.
And then it got ugly. That was really a wonderful. You know, I think it like days in my career, that was one of the, wouldn't you say that was one of the best days? I mean, doing the parade and being around that, there's over a million people behind us. And,
yeah.
And just the love that was on the stage from everybody.
Just think if everyone was there, just it would have brought you $2. Just because I'm a nice guy. I would have been happy. I would have been really happy, man. Wouldn't you, Dibs, if they would have brought me and you?
Even if it was every person who shouted you out while we were on the 95.7 The Game flatbed truck.
I see you over there.
I mean, the amount of love for Lorenzo Neal that day, Townie, you would have thought that he was the backup two guard because they were going crazy for the big fella.
They love the Dipsters, too.
Really?
Me. Oh, Dibley. Oh, you ought to see him. He's waving. Me and him's pointing, waving. We're just hamming it up. They love Dibley.
Well, I was promoting you guys the entire time as I was hosting with Matt Steinmetz.
We heard you.
Okay, first of all, can you explain to me why we our representation on a float in front of 2 million people is Dan Dibley? Like, is that, I mean, you think of all the people around 95.7 that's going to represent. You got Lo Neal and that's who's representing everybody?
Hey, Townie, he let us know he didn't shower this morning, too.
Oh, God, he's going to be a lobster by, like, noon.
Someone else was a lobster.
So let's just address that one piece. If I didn't shower, which I didn't, how would that make me more susceptible to sunburn?
I don't know.
I'll say it.
I'll say it. He's an idiot.
Thank you, Boach.
The best they can do, and the best they can do is Lo Neal and Dan Dibley.
He's a horse.
Uh-huh. I was wrong. I've apologized.
You're wrong, and you're out of line.
Yes, I've apologized. I'm
It's not enough.
Obviously. I'm sorry.
Liar!
No, I really am. I should have never ripped you guys like that. You guys are great representation, and they took care of you on the float. I'm sure there was all kinds of beers and water and food, and because 95.7 does it right. We're the flagship station of the Warriors.
I'm going to let the crickets speak for themselves on this one.
I mean, you guys are stars. When you're stars on the float, you got to take care of the stars. No. Nope.
Thank you.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yes, we are.
You know, guys, I'm having a good time.
Good.
I'm having a good time.
Great. Super.
So, hey, one thing, we got Rick Bucher coming up here at the top of the hour.
Excited. Awesome.
You know, one thing I wanted to get into, which is fast starts. Because you think about what the Rockets do going into Game 3, it is pretty amazing how they get off to fast starts. We addressed it briefly yesterday. But this, to me, in the first 82 quarters of this season, the Rockets are a plus 360. Is that any good?
You mean first quarters, right?
First quarters.
They're plus 360 in all 82 regular season
yes.
first quarters. That's pretty impressive. That's an average of about a plus 4.5 a game.
So it always means that you're in the lead, which is always nice. We know the Warriors are great in the third quarter. You think second half, but it's always better to be playing with that lead and have your opponent kind of swimming upstream. To where the Warriors in the first half, tell me what you make of this. For the season, and I don't think it's going to surprise a lot of people that watched a lot of Warrior games, they were minus 4. So think about that. 360 versus minus 4.
And that's 82 first quarters for the Warriors.
Correct.
And through it all, they were just barely a minus, but a minus 4.
Minus 4.
But it's hard for me to really apply that because you look at the way they treated the regular season, and they treated it with disdain. They basically all but ignored the regular season. So in a lot of those games, they came out somewhat disinterested and flat. And so it doesn't surprise me that they were a minus 4 in the first quarter.
And I wish you'd have pulled up what they were in the third quarter. I think those are...
Oh, it's huge.
What the Warriors are. So, you know, my daddy always told me a fast horse run fast, but he doesn't run long. I'd rather be the Warriors that are going to run in that second half where, you know, you're going to catch up and go ahead and pull away instead of being the Rockets that are running fast at the beginning, but then don't have that sustainability. And that's what the Warriors have been able to do. The consistency in the second half for the Warriors, that's been their battle cry. And usually they come out in that third quarter and just usually come out, and that's when the motorboating starts. And once they continue to motorboat guys, you see teams start to fall by the wayside. Teams get behind, they start pressing, they try to match 3 for 3, they start speeding up the tempo, and the Warriors put them in that washing machine and put them in that buzzsaw, and then guys and teams just fall by the wayside because they stay so consistent in the second half.
And hopefully they change that, though, in this Game 3, because when you have a Rockets team that is this offensively productive and this efficient of an offensive team, you don't want to fall behind even when you're playing at Oracle. You don't want to have to rely on that third quarter to bring you back. We saw it a little bit in Game 2 where they cut into the lead. They got it down to 10 in the third, but they couldn't get over the hump. This Houston team can score as quickly as the Warriors can, so I think it's paramount in Game 3 that the Warriors don't fall behind after one.
Well, look at Game 1. They lost the first quarter 30-29, but of course won the game because they won in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. But the third quarter is 31-24. But you look at Game 2, lost the first quarter 26-21, and now you're thinking, wait till we see what they're going to do in the second half. Well, the Rockets beat them 31-29 in the third quarter and beat them in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you mentioned something because, you know, one of my favorite things about doing mornings, to be honest with you, is the meeting after the morning show.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. I mean,
we all love it.
After you get up early and do 4 hours of radio, there's nothing better than going in meeting and talking more. It's my favorite. You brought it up yesterday in the meeting, Lo. When the Warriors lose, and when you said it, it hit me. I went, yeah, that's kind of a good point. When the Warriors lose, it's not like last second shot type of deal. When they lose, there's a big distance.
It's the way they lose.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you get concerned from the fans and just from the talking heads. It's because when you see a team that's that dominant, this many all-stars, you say, okay, they lost a close one, a nail biter. Okay, that happens. But when you're losing by 20, 22, 30, what have you, yeah, it makes you wonder, God, is this team really invincible? And it just goes to show you how mentally tough that they are, that they can actually check out of games and don't care what the score is, and then they can come back and show their total domination. Goes to show that, and sometimes in certain situations, they say, you know what? We're waving the white flag. We're not going to contest anything, and we're just going to try to get out of here with any injuries. And then the next game, they just turn it on, and you're like, wow, that's the team that we're used to seeing. So, yeah, it is two different ways. When they lose, it's usually never close. Hell, they lost by Utah, 40-something? And when you see that happen, you're like, this is not my team.
Well, when you said it yesterday, and it hit me, I went, the big fella, he's got a good point here. Their one loss against the San Antonio Spurs, 103-90. That's not close. Their one loss against the Pelicans, 119-100. Not close. This loss, 127-105. So you look at, they are either going to blow you out or really beat you, or if they're going to lose, it's going to be by a big margin. I mean, think about it. We have not seen that, okay, timeout, last second shot, what's the call going to be by Steve Kerr? We haven't seen that.
Right. And I think that won't hurt them if they do get into a tight game, because these players have all been in enough of those scenarios together that they know how to execute and they know what they'll need to execute in that moment. I think it speaks to, in part, their veteran wisdom and knowing when a game is out of hand, it's okay to pull the plug. So if you're down by 15 with 5 minutes to go, just clear the decks, pull the starters, don't fight and scratch and claw to lose by seven. Just capitulate, give up, and lose by 20. It doesn't matter.
That's so odd.
Well, if you're at a point in the game where the comeback is such a long odd, why bother? You know, if you're down 15,
but the fact that you're even in that scenario,
it's unfortunate. But yeah, you can't expect to win every game.
No, I get it, but don't you think you'd see at least
compete
one game where it's by 2 points or 3 points? I mean, you basically in the playoffs, you either blow the team out or you get blown out.
Right, and that's what really good teams do, because they realize there's no great benefit in sweeping a team if you have to grind through a game. If you're going to lose a game, lose a game. It's okay. The games they've lost, with the exception of Game 2 in Houston, have all been inconsequential. They avoided a sweep against the Spurs, and they won in 5 against the Pelicans. It's not like they were in a high-leverage situation, so if you're going to give up a game, you come out a little flat, and the other team jumps on you, it's okay. You go ahead and kick one away.
And you saw that when they, like Dibs alluded to, when they played Houston, everyone knows that when you're the road team and you're going on the road, everyone says, get a split. Go get a split. And the Dubs did that. They won the first game. They lose the second game. And you see the intensity. And you saw it even when Cleveland lost to Boston. First game, wasn't even in the game. Wasn't close. Second game, LeBron comes into the stadium early. He's shooting his three, doing all these working out. They led for the first half. Second half, they still, even though the Cavs fought hard, they lost the game. But you saw that it was way more competitive. Those second games, you know, teams are going to show up. And the Rockets showed up. They needed to win. That was a desperate. That was pretty much a must, in my opinion. That was a must win for the Rockets. They needed to win. You didn't want to go. You didn't want to come out here to Oracle down 0-2, and now you're playing at home. They probably would have got swept. So they knew they needed to play better, and they did. They played with more urgency. They moved the ball around more. They won the fast break. They stole the ball. They had a lot of 3-on-1 on fast break. They won every turnover. The Warriors turned the ball over because why? Sometimes they get a little careless with the ball. This has always been one of the calling cards for the Warriors, being a little sloppy with the ball at times. And this time it bit them in the butt, having 7 turnovers in the first quarter. You can't do that in big games. You can't do that in big games and championships like you're in now and expect to win. Even though you have the better team, even though you are the better talent and all those things that are surrounding it, you still have to go out and execute. You still have to go out and say, just because I'm better than someone or you're better than someone, if you go out there and you're not giving it your all, you're going to get beat. And that's what happened. They went out there and the Rockets wanted it more. They were more prepared. They were more hungry. They played on another level, and they motorboated them.
Well, and you talk about them getting out to a hot start. That's what Houston does. And the Golden State Warriors, to you, Lo, with the turnovers, they had 11 turnovers by the half. And that was not good. And then you look at what the Warriors did during the regular season. They were 26th in the regular season in turnovers, averaging 15.4 a game. I know Kalen Azubuike always says, give me 14 or less. And that's what was so impressive about the first game, Dids. They only had 9.
Right, and 7 in the first quarter in game 2. And that ultimately is what undid them, and that's what's undone them the entire season. Games that they lost, a lot of those times, it was careless passing early, reckless turnovers, drop balls, offensive fouls, which go down as turnovers as well, shot clock violations. And you'll see it in game 3 right from the jump. How's the offense clicking Is Steph Curry looking like the Steph of old? Is Klay getting loose with catch and shoots? Does Draymond knock down his first open three? Because you don't want to go to KD too early and too often. You don't want your team to become, you know, the Rockets West, where you're ISOing KD and then they're going to ISO Harden and it's just back and forth ISOs. You want everyone involved, and you want Kevin Durant to not have to carry the load early because you know he's going to carry it late.
And when you think about what the Warriors are going to do, they're doing something that they haven't done before. That's come home 1-1. We're so used to them. They're going on the road after starting at home. So this, they said they liked the fact that they were starting on the road. This was something different for them. So how they're going to react now, as it's going to be game three, it's going to be at home versus normally when they're playing game three, it's on the road. So how they react to that's going to be interesting.
Right, and I think they're going to react just fine. You saw Klay at the Giants game last night. I'm sure Steph and Andre were out playing golf and everyone got away and was able to do what they needed to do yesterday. Today you get back toward practice and then shoot around tomorrow. Having 3 days off during the venue switch, I think, makes it so now you look at this like an old school playoff series. Remember when the first round was just five games?
Yeah.
You played that best of five. That's the mindset you get into right now. You don't even worry about what happened in Houston, the positives, the negatives. Crumple it up and throw it away. You're in a best of five right now.
Right.
And you have the benefit, though, of now having home court advantage in this modified best of five.
And what I love, I mean, we're talking about what's going on, and we're talking about the Edmund Foes of the game and what can they do better. We had a 15-year vet that played in the NBA for 15 years in the NBA, and I love what he had to say about how he would use KD if he's a head coach. Let me hear that.
If I was running things, I'm going to initiate away from KD, let some other guys touch the ball. The ball will definitely find him because he is the man that can put it in the bucket.
Absolutely. And when I listen to Doug, what he's saying is, he's saying, look, KD is still going to dominate. KD is still going to get his because he is that type of player. He's a transitional player. He's a guy that's transcending the game. You watch him, top two players in the NBA, him and LeBron, what they're able to do. He said, I would go away from him because the ball is going to find the best guy. It's going to get there. But he said, get the other guys. Let Steph, let Klay, let Draymond, let Iggy. All these guys need to be touching the ball and moving the ball around because ultimately we know what KD can do. But these other guys, they're going to have to step up their game. Klay, you can't have Klay with 8 points. You can't have Steph Curry with 16. You can't have Iggy just getting five. Draymond, these other guys. So I totally agree with Doug Christie, what he's saying that Kerr should do. So Kerr as the head coach, his job is early to get other guys involved and get them involved often.
Yeah, it's funny. You could be like, God, Klay's just got to be pissed about only having, what do you have, 8 points?
Yeah, eight.
Yeah, I only had eight points, yeah. Right? You got like, and then I'm looking over Dib's shoulder as we have it on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yeah, he looked real angry.
He was at the Giants game. He's tipping his cap. I mean, you kind of like, I guess we're so used to it now, you forget how much rock stars these guys are. I was telling the story yesterday in our meeting. I was at Costco two or three days ago, and I'm in line, and the one guy cashier was talking to the two ladies who were the cashiers of my line, and they were talking Warriors, and the people, they were all talking Warriors. The people in line, they all got into this Warriors conversation. It's just how big this is right now in our area. It's what everybody is thinking about. Everything else is on the back burner.
It's
there's
not
nothing
just sports
like it.
Fans, that's why. It's everybody. You have families loving it, people who never watch sports, who never watch basketball, who are watching this team. I have my mom who hardly ever watches, and she watches, she knows all the Warriors. She loves Klay. She's just like in love with Klay. Just like every
other
mom.
A lot of people love Klay. Klay?
Moms, I'm telling you. I kid you not, it's moms that love Klay.
Instagram model.
Moms and daughters. I would say daughters more so than moms, but yeah. I'm neither a mom nor a daughter. But yeah, based on his rotating companionship,
friends.
Arrangement.
He's got friends.
How That's many
friends.
Of us have them?
Friends.
Very
Thank
popular.
You. Look at you two.
friends. If I could be any Warrior, I would be Klay.
Without
yeah.
a doubt.
I would be Klay.
It's not bad. I think I would want to be Jordan Bell. Just let me jump 45 inches off the ground for one season. Let me just fly around
Sometimes
swatting
I
stuff.
Feel like kids, me. You want to fly like Jordan and get up 42 inches? I'd rather have the money. I'd rather have the money. But Jordan can get up.
You want to be Jordan Bell with bad ankle?
He's fine. No bad ankles. He's young. He doesn't know from bad ankles.
I mean,
you
just
want bad ankles?
Yeah,
you see me at 3:30 in the morning trying to get out of bed. You want bad ankles?
Bad ankles, bad Achilles. But just to see Clay waving to the crowd, tipping the cap, the world's his oyster.
And that's why I think as Warrior fans, you can't be too alarmed as you get ready for Game 3, because they went to Houston and did what they needed to do. Even though Game 2 was not an impressive performance, shall we say, Houston outplayed them. They out-hustled them. It's a best of seven. There's a Warrior team that's been through the battles before. They know what it takes. And having these 3 days off, I think, helps the Warriors more than it helps the Rockets.
You know, kind of the problem is they've set the expectation. And they have set the bar so high when we see them play at their very, very best. Even when they win game one, 119-106, low, you can still look and go, they weren't totally at their best. And I mean, it's not us. They've set that bar so high.
They have. And the thing about it is the team, the coaching staff, the organization understand who they are. They've got targets on their back. They understand. You heard Draymond. They want to beat us. The league, the fans, not from here, but other places, they want to watch them go down. They want to watch this team go down. A great fighter, Muhammad Ali. People used to travel. Some people hated him, but a lot of people loved him. But they wanted to watch the best lose. And right now, the Dubs, they are that team. And any little thing, if they find any little chink in their armor, then okay, they're susceptible here. Go at Steph Curry. Go at Steph. Steph can't play defense. His elevation, he's not getting up. He has no arc on his shot. Go at him. You know, make sure you switch and make him defend. Everything they're doing is to try to say, how can we beat this team? And you're right. At times they show them that they haven't been proficient and it still win games. We're talking about them winning the first game and what happened. They didn't look as good as usual. The standard and the bar is set high. When you're great, everyone wants to see you continue strive for excellence. And this team understands that. The guys understand that. They know they didn't play well. They know they got embarrassed. They didn't look right. They look like they were a step behind everything. The effort didn't seem like it was there. I'm not worried about this game. You know that the Warriors, because the men in that locker room, the way they think as a team and as an organization, they're not going to back down and they're not going to lose, and you know they're going to fight. They got embarrassed. This team got embarrassed. That was unacceptable, and they understand that. And I think you're going to see this team come out way more motivated, and I can't wait to see Sunday's game. Think you guys are going to be, well, everyone's going to be pretty excited and pretty happy, because the outcome when this team plays and plays at a high level, they're pretty hard to beat.
Are you going into your pocket for this one, for you and your son? Get a couple tickets? You gonna pony up and make this happen?
Yeah, I think so. He loves watching good basketball. And then, you know, this one, I'll make the tickets. I'll make it back because I'm going to go heavy Dubs. You know, I'm going to go heavy Dubs this week.
Look at you.
I got me locked up.
You're saying he's coming out of pocket for these tickets?
Allegedly.
Johnny Freebie over here?
Yeah, Johnny be free.
Johnny
be free.
Johnny.